Parshas Korach Tavshin Ayin Gimel says, Chafetz Chaim tells us, the greater a person is, the greater the punishment that is given to that person. So meaning, if you're a tremendous person, and yet you do a chait, no matter what the chait is, you're going to get a worse punishment than somebody who's on a lower level, who does the exact same thing. The examples given by the Gemara are Doeg and Achitofel. Doeg was the chief advisor by Shaul HaMelech. Achitofel was the chief advisor by David HaMelech. They were both advisors who helped out Shaul and David. But Doeg spoke Lashon Hara. Achitofel was an evil advisor who got Abshalom to rebel against David HaMelech, his father. They were, did things wrong. So for that, they weren't given a chelek lolam haba. They weren't given a portion of the world to come. They didn't get anything. Now, that's a harsh punishment. A really harsh punishment. But the level that they were on, Doeg and Achitofel, the fact that they messed up means that they're even more susceptible to the punishments that they ended up getting. That's the idea behind it. Even Shlomo Melech, we all know how great Shlomo Melech was, built the Beis HaMikdash, hurried to build the Beis HaMikdash, did everything he could, gave all the money in the world to build the Beis HaMikdash, and it was beautiful. He was given the same punishment. Chazal wanted to say that he had no chelek in Olam Haba because he married people that he shouldn't have married. He married 1,000 wives altogether. Out of those wives, there were some that were still worshipping Avodah Zarah. I mean, try to control one wife. I can imagine what it's like to control 999 others. I can't imagine what that's like at all. Like, some of them were doing something, and they were doing Avodah Zarah, and nonetheless, those people, right, the Chazal, when they looked at Shlomo Melech, they said, because of that, Shlomo Melech has no chelek in Olam Haba. And David HaMelech came by and said, please don't say that about my son. He begged to take Shlomo Melech off the list. And only then was Shlomo Melech taken off the list. And that's the idea behind it, okay? Not for the tefillos of his father, he would have been on a list of those who don't have a chelek in Olam Haba. Here by Korach, it was the exact same thing. Look at these guys over here. By Yakumu Ritnei Moshe, they got up in front of Moshe Rabbeinu, Anashim Ibnei Yisrael, 250 men. It says Nisiei Eda, priests, princes of the Eda, Kriyei Moed, people that were called in to the appointed time, Anshei Shem, men of great name. They all gathered against Moshe Rabbeinu. And the reason why the pasuk says it is because how great they were, that's how far they fell. They were so great that when they messed up, when they did something wrong, immediately they fell down. And that's the idea, which makes it so strange in their decision making. What could they have done wrong? So we have to understand what exactly was. And I think that's a part of it. Sometimes when you're that great, you get messed up in the head. You think you're greater than you actually are. And that's really what messed everybody up. I know.
Say it.
It's, yeah. Just as well. No, for you it's fine. And to, I know. So let's try to understand this parsha. Let's try to understand how, what the mentality of Korach was, and why it was. How could one of the greatest, literally one of the greatest minds in our history, one of the greatest people to have ever lived, and a person who has not done any sins, how is it possible for such a man to make such a mistake and think to say to Moshe Rabbeinu, you don't belong to be, you don't, shouldn't be the king of all Klal Yisrael. How could he say such a thing? Okay, the Me'ashe Ruach digs very deep over here, and he goes into it, and he says the following. Number one, Korach was 100% right. He got up in front of Moshe Rabbeinu and he said, Kola Ido Kulum Kedoshim, that every Jew that's involved over here is entirely holy. And God is within every single Jew here. Maduot is Nisual Kal Hashem. Why do you try to raise yourself above everybody else? Guys, it's ridiculous. He was 100% right. Every Jew is there at Har Sinai. Every Jew deserved for the Shekhinah to be on them. Every Jew was extremely great, and that's how tremendous they were. He was 100% right, and God was maskim to it. If it's in the Torah, that means it's true. There are arguments that didn't make it. The arguments that weren't true didn't make it in here. But this argument made it in. He was 100% right that all of Bnei Yisrael were entirely holy and they didn't necessarily need Moshe Rabbeinu. So if they were entirely right, what was wrong? What was wrong over here? What was the problem that Korach had gotten himself wrong about? So here we go. Korach thought that he was a little bit angry. But the truth is, he was more jealous than he was angry. But he had anger within him. Now, what happens, guys, when a Talmid Chacham gets angry? What does the Gemara say about such a person? When a Talmid Chacham gets angry, don't worry. Why? Because it's not the Talmid Chacham that's getting angry. Torah is compared to fire. And when you have fire inside your body, then it makes you all fiery. When you're screaming and yelling, and you sit there in a basement and you see people screaming at each other, if they're good people, good Talmid Chacham, and not the bad ones, then what they're screaming is the Torah screaming. It's the Eish of the Torah screaming at the person and yelling to get itself out. That's what's happening over there. It's not a guy who has bad midos, the midah of Kas, who is the midah of anger, who's screaming and yelling and saying everything is all wrong. No, that's not it. It's the Torah that's within him, the Torah that's there, that's so kadosh, such a fire, such a bren that's making him angry, that's not allowing him to think clearly. He was so jealous, so angry, and he thought that it was 100% correct. He thought that this was the Torah, and that's all it was.
Compared to water.
I'm sorry?
Torah
is also compared to water. It's the exact same Gemara in Tainus and Dabbe.
So
exact
same sense?
Gemara. It's both. There's an idea that you have to have anivus, and that's water. There's an idea that you have to have azus, and you can't learn Torah without being able to go up to a Rebbe and say, explain to me what you mean, and say it again and again and again, sort of like what you just did. If you wouldn't ask that, you wouldn't understand it. So, I mean, you have to have fire. You have to be able to fight it out. If you don't fight it out, if everybody just sits there, relaxes, and sits back and says, alright, I'm just going to take that, it's not Torah. Torah has to be that there's some type of fire within it. He was angry, Korah. He thought it was his Torah. But it wasn't. It wasn't. It was a bad midah. It was a bad meeting. You know what the Chiddush HaRim says? Chiddush HaRim says that Korah was supposed to be the Levi HaGadol. And he asked, what's the Levi HaGadol? We know a Kohen Gadol. We don't know of a Levi HaGadol. The reason why it doesn't exist is because Korach messed up. Had Korach not messed up, had he not been jealous of Moshe Rabbeinu, had he waited just a little bit, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have came down and said, by the way, we're going to have just like a Kohen Gadol, we're going to have a Levi Gadol. And that Levi Gadol is going to be Korach. No, it would have been Korach. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was the Nasi, he was the king of Klal Yisrael. There was going to be a Levi Gadol, and that was going to be Korach. Had he only waited just a little bit, he thought that the anger within him was the right anger, but it wasn't. Had he just held himself back, he would have gotten everything that he wanted. He thought he was saying MS Gomer, that Moshe is not right, I'm the one that's right, and everything's like that. He was 100% wrong.
If he wholeheartedly thought something, okay, within everything, I mean, it almost sounds like, you know, he was a good guy, he had a good thought, like he really meant what he was doing, and he was wrong. In which case, he's not really wrong, because he really, like, had good intention. So he must have had some flaw in there, some sort of person.
The truth is that to see the difference between these two types of angers takes a very great man. You have to be an awesome person to be able to get this. Maybe even a Kadosh Baruch Hu himself is the only person who can see such a thing. He didn't see it. And on the level that Korach was on, not our level, on Korach's level, not realizing the difference between bad anger and good anger was 100% punishable. And so bad that he was punished with crazy deaths. He burned in a fire in which he spontaneously combusted and then rolled into a hole and went down to the lowest level of Gehenna and will never come out. Doesn't get much worse than that.
Ever?
I don't think you can get a worse punishment.
He doesn't get any
more?
Yeah, she's pretty bad.
Yeah, well, no. I mean, I don't know. Burning in a fire and then rolling down to the lowest level of Gehenna versus sitting in a big pile of Tzoa Rosachas, you know, feces, burning feces. I guess they're both pretty bad. Yeah, they're both pretty bad. I don't want either one. What? Cool. Yeah, that's the line of Rabbi Akiva. According to Rabbi Akiva, that's it. That's the difference. And this is the idea, guys. You have to figure out what you are, and that's the problem with Korach. He couldn't figure out what he really stood for. Was he a good person? Was he a bad person? He couldn't figure out. Was he on this side? Was he on that side? Korach couldn't see it. And that's the pure lesson over here. You are biased. Don't think that you're absolutely right, and that your claim is the best, and that you're the only one that has an opinion. There's always other opinions. It's not true. You're biased. You have to think about yourself, and you have to think the other way. Now, the Ksav Sofer gives a mushel. This is an absolute great mushel to help us understand how Korach could have thought that Moshe could be replaced. How is it possible that Moshe was going to be replaced? Who is good enough to take over from Moshe Rabbeinu? Who in the world could have thought that they were good enough to take over from Moshe Rabbeinu? If you have a problem with Moshe, certainly you're going to have a problem with Yeshua. So who is it? Who could have taken over? But that was the problem. You had a problem with Aaron also. A newly appointed king. Newly appointed king. This is not a king who took it over from his father. Newly appointed king checked out his kingdom and realized that there were many serious issues with the people there. Many people there. They simply did not know how to live civilly. They had no clue how to live civilly with one another or how to act within a government setting. They didn't even have proper judges. There was no judges to be able to judge cases. They didn't have officers to be able to be in charge. There were no policemen that were taking care of things. There was nothing there that was letting the whole thing run smoothly. There was nothing that was going on. So the king took care of everything. He worked like a dog for decades. He worked like an absolute dog to be able to make sure that everything was done. He set up everything so well that the kingdom started running on its own without him needing to be there constantly. He could take a day off and things were still running like a well-oiled machine and there was no problem whatsoever. But when he got older, he was ready to give it up to somebody else and somebody else should take over. He was worried, who's going to take it over in which everything's going to run the way that I've done it? Now, be careful. He didn't want his work to collapse like it had done before. But he also didn't need a builder like he was. Everything's built up already. What he needed was a maintainer. He needed somebody who would be able to maintain what he had already built up to keep it the way it is and not change anything drastic. Just keep it around and to keep going as time goes on. That's what the king was looking for.
What if you don't go up, you're always going down?
That's a good call. That's a good call. But I don't know if that comes when it comes to a government itself. Maybe you're right.
Cat says that too.
Maybe you're correct in a way like that. But
there's only bits and credits.
Of course, that comes with an individual person, guys. But when we're dealing with a claw, it could be a little bit different. He called all his advisors together.
As a feudal lord, I know these things.
What a good thing we have feudal lords there, guys. Right. He called all his advisors together. He got every single person together, all the people that were around. And he asked them what they thought. He went up to them and he asked them, so what do you guys think? What do you think? Who should take over when I'm gone? Who should be the guy that's going to take over for everything as soon as I go? They were worried. They were worried, and they told them so. They said, we've got something that we've got to worry about here. What are we going to do? There were many qualified people there who would do an absolute great job. There were a lot of advisors, chief advisors that the king had, who each one of them would have been unbelievable. But the problem is, if you hire one guy, there are another 10 or 20 other guys who will become insanely jealous. They're all going to say, we're as good as that guy. What does that guy have that we don't have? And that's going to cause strife and problems within the kingdom, which you cannot afford when a king is going down and other people are taking over. You can't have that. So the king's worried, who's he going to have? So they came up with an ingenious plan. Here's the plan. He'd pick someone who was less qualified, who clearly did not deserve the job over anybody else. And everybody understands that. Somebody who nobody else could be jealous of, because they know that's not why he was picked. He was not being picked for his accomplishments. That's not why he's being picked. He's being picked because the king liked him. And that was it. The king likes this guy. The king thinks this guy is a good guy. The king thinks that this guy is the best guy around. And if you like the king, you're going to like him. You should only treat him with honor because I said that you should. That way there's going to be peace. The officers are going to continue to work together with this guy and maintain what was built up. There would be no problems because there's no jealousy involved over here. There would be no jealousy. This is what Korach thought. Korach thought that the reason why Moshe and Aaron were chosen was not because of their accomplishments, not because they were great, and not because they were the best people around. That's not why they were chosen. You know why they were chosen? They were the least qualified for the job. This is what Korach thought. The least qualified for the job. But they were nice people with stellar midos. Tremendous midos. If so, continued Korach, the whole Eidah is Kadosh. Why would you raise yourselves above everybody else and pretend that you're greater than them when you're not really greater than them? Because if you were just as great, other people really would be jealous. And therefore, because of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't allow that to happen, so it must be that you're lower than yourselves. So what did Korach do? He turned it back on Moshe and Aaron. He said, I'm not really jealous of you. That's not really what I'm doing right now. I'm not really jealous. I'm saying that you guys are taking on too much for yourselves and you have too much pride. It's your own fault because you didn't deserve this position in the first place. You only got it because God liked you, because you have stellar midos and HaKadosh Baruch Hu likes you as people, even though you're not qualified for this position. And that's the reason why Hashem put you here in the first place. But it's not because of your accomplishments. So don't brag about what you've been able to do. That's what Korach said. What an unbelievable taina. But that was his claim within his idea of what a kingdom should be all about. Of course, he included it another way as well. The king allowed his advisors to make the decision. The advisors made the decision. They decided that they had to make it unanimous. Who's going to take over for the king? It has to be unanimous. So let's get everybody together in this room. Who's going to be the guy who's going to be in charge? And if one guy dissents, that guy's not going to be the king, and we will not leave this room until we make a king. Eventually, somebody's going to be picked, and that guy is going to be the unanimous opinion in which everyone agreed with and everybody's all there. That way, everybody's going to work on it. Everyone's going to pick someone. We'll be here for a while. Everyone's going to pick someone that they thought would represent everyone else very, very well. And that way, if the man ever got a little bit of pride, what will they say to him? What are they going to say to the guy? The only reason why you were picked is because we chose you. So that's what Korach was saying over to Moshe Rabbeinu. You were only picked because of us. I know that you went up to Moshe Rabbeinu. You went up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on our Sinai. I know, Moshe Rabbeinu, that you're a great person. You climbed up the mountain. You spoke to God. You were up there for 120 days. I realize that. So obviously you're a great person. But you know why you're such a great person? Because we chose you. And if it wasn't for me and all these other people here, you wouldn't have gotten any of that. Because no human being deserves what you just got.
Not
Nobody true. Deserves that. What do you mean?
Not true. God chose Moshe first at the...
That's what Korach was arguing. That's what Moshe said. Korach was arguing, not true. We chose you. Meaning, you were chosen by Hashem to go back to Mitzrayim. That didn't mean that you had to be the leader. Anybody could have been the leader. But we chose you since you were the guy who Hashem spoke to first. But we could have chosen anyone. It could have been anybody out there. That was Korach's opinion. He was obviously wrong. But that was his idea.
That doesn't even logically, that doesn't make sense.
No one.
Like, if he was trying to use logic, that like, oh, we only chose you because you spoke to God. Obviously, you spoke to God, ergo, then you chose me because that happened.
It doesn't make you a good leader, that makes you a Navi. And a Navi is not always the leader of God.
He didn't want to be the leader.
I understand. Again, we're looking at Korach's vision. Korach is looking at it and saying, you didn't have to be the leader. You had to be the Navi, because you were the guy speaking to God. That didn't mean he had to be the king making all the decisions. For that, we should have had somebody else that's going to be in charge. You should have put somebody else in charge, and you never did. And if you did put someone in charge, it was your brother. And that's the wrong decision. Meaning denying the fact and saying, you're only there, Moshe Rabbeinu, and you're only so great because we're there. I'll give you a famous story. The Baal Shem Tov used to daven really long Shemon Esrays. He used to have these Shemon Esrays that would go hours at a time. Okay, so you can imagine being in the Baal Shem Tov's minion. I mean, everybody in the Baal Shem Tov's minion would be there also, and they would also have really long Shemon Esrays. But how long of a Shemon Esrays can you have? What's the longest Shemon Esrays you've ever davened? 3.5 minutes? That was a killer. So these guys were going like for a half an hour, 45 minutes. They were davening shakwas. And they're davening and davening and davening, right? They davened for a long, long time. They finished their Shemona Esrei. They finished. And like all of a sudden they looked up at the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov was like, Slach Lanu Avinu. And they're like, oh my gosh. So a bunch of them, at one point, there were 10 people there. The 9 of them that were sitting there, they all had finished their Shemona Esrei. They looked at the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov was literally in the middle of Slach Lanu. They said, oh, this is going to take a year. So they looked up and they said, listen, why don't we go home? We'll go eat breakfast. And after we finish eating breakfast, we'll come back. And then we'll do everything that we need to do. Let's go eat breakfast. And we'll go back to the Baal Shem Tov. We'll finish off the mini. By the time we come back, I mean, we could probably jog around the block a couple times. We'll be fine by the time it comes back. So they went out, right? They came back. They came back to the Baal Shem Tov. They found the Baal Shem Tov sprawled out on the ground. In front of his spot, sprawled out on the ground. They quickly ran over to him, picked him up. He said, Rebbe, what happened? Rebbe, what happened? He said, when I daven, I can daven by myself. I could daven be yechidus, but I can only get so high. You can only jump so high when you're doing it by yourself. But when I have other people in the minion, I'm able to climb onto other people's backs. Meaning, the minion, 1, 2, 3, 4, they would pile up one on top of the other, climbing up one on each guy's shoulders, and then the Baal Shem Tov would go on top of the 9th person's shoulders, and he'd be able to reach up even more higher up to Shemayim by being on top of that. And he said, that's the reason why you daven with a minion. Because you could help other people go on higher heights. You can get to higher heights with a minion. He said, so when you guys all left... Well, I was in the middle of my Shemona Esrei. I fell off 9 shoulders up in Shemayim. When you fall off, that meant that he fell down to the ground. He fell down right down there. That's what Korach was claiming. Korach was claiming that you're only so great, Moshe Rabbeinu, because you're climbing on our shoulders. If you didn't have B'nai Yisrael to climb up, then you wouldn't have anything. You'd just be another guy just like all of us. Granted, you'd have great midos. Granted, you'd be a nice guy. But you're not that much greater than the rest of us. That's the idea that Korach was telling Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the idea. Now,
well, the point is still the greatest one of everybody. You need somebody to be the leader.
But our point was, what we're saying is that the muscle that you're saying is that you're only great because of us, and we put you in that position. And that's what he was saying. His claim was that therefore you can't have any gaiva because we put you there. We were the ones in charge. So therefore, get off your high horse, Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not you. It's us. So that was the idea.
In the Havdil, like Vladimir Putin, he was sent to Siberia and to a gulag.
Yes, what?
Everyone at that time know how Moshe conversed with God.
Putin's awesome.
Like, did everybody know at that time how Moshe actually confessed?
I would assume so. Everybody must have seen that he had light shining from his face until he had the mask on.
So,
right? He had light shining from his face. He was on Har Sinai for 120 days without food and drink. Obviously, everybody knew that, but they thought it was because of them. They thought he was climbing on them. That's the idea why I brought the Baal Shem Tov.
Don't minimize the level that they were on. They were seeing crazy Nebuah themselves.
And so
shiny face. Although it seems like a crazy thing to us,
okay,
to them it may not have been that crazy anymore. They could have been like, okay, yeah, shiny, we're shining, we're everybody shining.
No, that doesn't make sense, because on that point, even more so, if they were such great Nevi'im, they would be able to see how great Moshe, like all the more so, like if you're great, you would be able to see that guy's like beyond a world beyond me.
Not if you're looking with guidance.
Not if you're looking
with Keener or anything like that.
That's what I'm saying. There must be a certain mistake.
Agreed.
In here.
There has to be something.
Fundamentally.
The Chafetz Chaim, that's what we're trying to say. The Chafetz Chaim used to say that even though Achan, everybody remember Achan? Where did Achan come into play? We all know nothing. Come on, guys. Achan? From Yoshua. What did Achan do?
Stole from the booty
of the eye. From Yericho, and therefore because of the eye, right, when they fought against the eye, they lost 36 people. Achan was punished and killed in this world for what he did, but he still allowed himself to have a chelik in Olam Haba afterward. He lost his chelik in this world, meaning he lost everything in this world and was killed, but he still had a chelik in Olam Haba, as is Meduyik in Yoshua, that he still got something in Olam Haba. Not so Adas Korach. According to Rebbe Akiva, they lost everything in this world and they lost everything in the next world. What's the difference? Why did Achan get Olam Haba, but Adas Korach did not?
Achan was honest. Achan admitted
to the Chafetz Chaim, a brilliant answer. The difference is that one was prescribed by God, and one was prescribed by Moshe. When something is prescribed by God, it's a lighter punishment, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu acts with Rachamim. But who decided the punishment of Korach? Who's the one that said out what was going to happen? In Bria Yivro Hashem, if Hashem will create a hole in the ground, then you'll know that I was chosen by a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu said. So hold on. So what it means is that when it's Tola Bedas Shel Rav, when it's up to the rabbi, the man, the human being, and the human being does not have the mercy of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, a human being, a tzaddik, can destroy everything. He can make you lose this world and the next world. You can lose both. That means that a rabbi or somebody that is punishing, and every single person here, you have power that you have no idea how to use. You have an unbelievable power that if you misuse the power, bad things can happen. You have to use it wisely for that very reason. If you abuse it, if you do it incorrectly, then bad things can happen. That's how powerful the Tzaddikim are. For that, I have an unbelievable story. It's a great story that's said over. It's one time a great man, some say it was his son-in-law, I'm not so sure about the veracity of this story when it comes to his son-in-law, came to the Chafetz Chaim and complained that he wasn't chosen as a certain rug somewhere because of some mistake in the government system. It was just something wrong. It was not his fault nor the town's fault. Just something had gone wrong, and the government system did not allow him to be the rug. And he asked the Chafetz Chaim what to do. He's so upset. I wanted to be the rug of the city. It was a perfect city for me. It was a stellar that I really, really wanted. And look, due to nothing that I did, what's going on? So Chafetz Chaim told him, don't worry. Listen, this is not anything to worry about. The Rav said to him, what do you mean not to worry? He didn't accept it. He said, Rebbe, I want the position. Why can't I get this position? What's wrong with this position? The Chafetz Chaim told him something that he told the guy, I don't know if it was his son-in-law, you're not allowed to reveal this until I die. The Chafetz Chaim said, you cannot tell anyone this until I die. The man promised. The Chafetz Chaim said, here's the story. For a little while, the Chafetz Chaim, by the way, as a side note, was never the Rav in Ravin. Never the Rav in the city of Ravin. He was never a Rosh Shiva. That's not what he wanted. He never wanted to be a Rosh Shiva. He never wanted to be the Rav. He hired other people to be the Rav. Rav Naftali Trump was the famous Rav in the Rosh Shiva in Ravin. I don't know who the Rav was in Ravin, but he had another Rav that was there. The Chafetz Chaim did nothing. All he did was he made money off his Sfarim. He wrote the Mishnah Berurah. He wrote the Shmiras HaLashon. He wrote all the Sfarim that he had, and he made money off that, but he would not take money for being a Rav or anything. So he said, there was one time where I had to be the Rav in Ravin for an in-between period. Where the rub had passed away, they were hiring another person. So in between, I was the rub there. While I was in charge, one of the butchers was caught selling treifa meat. That he was taking meat that was checked it incorrectly or something was wrong with it, and he sold it as if it was kosher meat. He sold it as if it was kosher meat, and he was taken down from his position, and people stopped dealing with him. People didn't want to have anything to do with him anymore, and the guy lost all of his money, and everything was bad. After a little while, he came to the Chafetz Chaim, and he begged him with tears in his eyes. He said to the Chafetz Chaim, I've been a Shomer Torah and Mitzvos my whole life. I made one mistake. One mistake, because I thought it was going to be a huge loss of money. One mistake, that's all it was. Please, Rebbe, bring me back to my position. The Chafetz Chaim saw that he was serious about it, and that he really meant it. He wasn't joking around, and he had a huge family, and he was worried about it. So the Chafetz Chaim put him back in his position. But he said, you still got to have a fine. He fined him a huge amount of money, and told him that you have to pay this fine to the shul for what you just had done, for what you had done. Everybody forgot about the incident. The butcher was brought back to his original position. Soon afterward, the butcher died. Okay, soon afterward, the butcher died. Okay? After that, the Chafetz Chaim, I don't know if the Chafetz Chaim was still the Rav, the acting Rav, or if the Chafetz Chaim no longer was the Rav, he was just in the city. I have absolutely no idea what had happened after that. But at a certain point, whatever it was, the Chafetz Chaim was learning in his shul. He used to learn in the shul, he used to lock the door so that nobody would come in. He was learning in the shul late, and all of a sudden he felt a wave of just nausea almost, coming upon him where he had to go to sleep. He just couldn't feel it. And he immediately put his head down, and he fell asleep. As soon as he fell asleep, he saw three great men standing in front of him. Three great men. People that were just of huge stature, just awesome looking men. And they said to him, we need to ask you a question. Said to him, when you gave that punishment of the money that the butcher had to pay, was that as a kapara? Was it an atonement for him? Or was it a punishment? What was it exactly? Did you mean for him to have an atonement through the money? Or did he just get that as a punishment? So Chafetz Chaim said, I don't remember, it was so long ago. Let me think what I was thinking at the time. Chafetz Chaim sat down and thought and thought and thought. And he came up and he said, I meant it as a punishment. I didn't mean it as a kapara. I meant it as a punishment for the person.
Is it a punishment?
So three people, no, a punishment is not necessarily a kapara. So the three people said, they nodded their heads, looked at the Chafetz Chaim and said, we agree with you. We felt that it was a punishment as well. And then the Chafetz Chaim woke up. Chafetz Chaim felt it. He realized what had just happened. And he just shook his head. He could not believe what had just happened. Pulled out his sefer, started learning again. As soon as he started learning, as soon as he had opened up the sefer, immediately felt that wave again where he had to fall asleep. Put his head down again. Fell asleep for the second time. Okay, for a second time. This time, who was in his dream? The butcher. The butcher came to him in the dream. The butcher complained, Rebbe! They brought me up to Beis Din Shomayla. They brought me up to the Beis Din up above. And they wanted to punish me for what I had done by selling the treif of meat. But I told them that I had already gotten my kapara in Olam Hazeh. I had already paid my kapara by giving the money that was a kapara for what I had done, and therefore I didn't need to be punished anymore. I didn't need a kapara in Olam Haba because I got a kapara in Olam Hazeh. So they said, the Chafetz Chaim didn't give that to you as a kapara. They gave it to you, he gave it to you as a punishment. So the butcher said, no, he gave it to me as a kapara. They decided, alright, we'll go ask the Chafetz Chaim himself. They came down and asked the Chafetz Chaim, was it a punishment or a kapara? And the Chafetz Chaim said it was a punishment. So now, Rebbe, says the butcher, now I have to go to Gehenna to give myself some type of a kapara for something that I didn't do in Olam Hazeh. Now I have to go down in there, all because you didn't say that it was a kapara. And then the Chafetz Chaim woke up. Chafetz Chaim turned to his son-in-law, whoever it was that came. He said he woke up, he was shaken to the core. Do you understand now when I tell you that it's scary to become a Rav? You're a Rav in charge of a town. You decide what the punishment, so to speak, will be, what the kapara will be. You make the decision, and it lasts in Beis Din Shomayla. They're not deciding it, you're deciding it. And if you mess up, you can send a person to Gehenna. You can send a person down to Gehenna. Do you understand why I'm telling you now that it's not so good to be a Rav? That's what the Chafetz Chaim told this guy. And then he said, don't tell that to anybody until after I die. Don't tell anybody that until after I die. That's the Chafetz Chaim story. What an unbelievable story. Absolutely unbelievable story. But it's true. And every one of us has this power. Although we might not be a Rav, we may not have a Beis Din, we may not have all the power in the world like the Chafetz Chaim did. Obviously, the Chafetz Chaim is greater than all of us combined, and possibly 100 times greater than all of us combined. Why am I saying possibly? That's who the Chafetz Chaim was. But we still have that power. When you curse a person, The curse is listened to by Beis and Shamayla. When you say something bad about a person, that bad thing is listened to by Beis and Shamayla. And a psak can be made. Be so careful with what you say and how you say it. When Moshe Rabbeinu said in Bria Yivra Hashem that Hashem should create a brand new world, we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't create anything new. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made something new happen because that's what Moshe Rabbeinu wanted. That is the power of a tzaddik, the power of the words of a tzaddik. You have to be so careful with everything that you say and that you do. Well, I should be Zilk could only say and do the right things, guys. Well, stop with that. Have a good Shabbos.